the family plays an integral part of our growth. And many of us have a lot of good memories of our home lives that we want to be thankful for, and we can share that with others. Those of us who have a goal in our lives to have our families even better than where we grew up has a good lofty goal to make. And it all depends upon our faith, and we're going to emphasize that quite a bit today on the mother of Moses, profile of a faithful mom. That's from Exodus. I appreciate a little cute little story shared by Pastor Neil Partington, who says that there was a second grade teacher who had been giving a lesson on science. She had explained about magnets and how they would pick up nails and other bits of iron. And now it was question time, and she asked the class a riddle. She said, "My name begins with the letter M, and I pick up things. What am I?" On the front row, little Billy waved his hand, and he proudly answered, "Well, you're a mother." You expected that to come, right? Well, you know, Billy reminds us of the other children that we viewed earlier in the video clip. In their young and innocent minds, most children have been raised in good homes, have something special, of course, that they admire and they respect concerning their mothers. And, you know, it's only out of the mouths of babes that we hear them reveal what they truly remember and appreciate about their moms, about their families. When Moses wrote the book of Exodus, he gave an intriguing account concerning his birth mother and what he remembers about her. In Exodus 2, 1 through 3, I'd like you to turn there in your Bibles to Exodus 2, and let's look at verses 1 through 3. Give you a moment to look that up. Exodus 2, starting with verse 1. "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile." The events that were taking place at the time of Moses' birth were alarming. They were tense for all Hebrew people who were being used as slaves in Egypt in those days. And parents were especially on edge because of the edict put out by Pharaoh. For the Bible says that Israel's population grew so large that it caused Pharaoh and the Egyptians to be afraid that they would be overtaken. Or something would happen in their ways. To reduce or control the population and the threat that they felt, Pharaoh put out an order to have all the male-born babies killed by being cast into the Nile. Now, you know, if this despicable act of infanticide turns your stomach, which it should, then how do you think that the Hebrew parents felt at that time? You imagine being a parent and have that over your head and wondering what was going to happen next. And just as it would for those like us who claim to believe in God, it must have led many mothers and fathers to examine their own faith and to beg God for deliverance from this heinous act. It would indeed take much faith to be able to face those tumultuous times of tragedy and terror. And it was at that time when Moses was born to Hebrew parents, Amram and Jochebed, from the family line of Levi. In the Exodus account, Moses recalls how his mother went to great lengths to ensure his survival. And in between the lines, you can see that Jochebed was a woman of faith who had to completely trust God for helping her secure the safety of her beautiful baby boy. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, she and her husband are commended there in that chapter for their faith in facing their dilemma. Hebrews 11:23 says that by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. We find that just as it says there in Exodus, baby Moses is described as beautiful. Other translations use the words that he was no ordinary child. In Exodus, the word beautiful means good. So I suppose, just as many loving parents tend to feel about their newborn child, they naturally and expectantly believe their child was very special. God had something special for this child. And I suppose you could say they were proud parents. And they had every right to be. I think this something special about the reason why parents are protective of their children. We admire how Jochebed risked her own life, hiding Moses from Egyptian authorities for 3 months until she realized that it was no longer possible to keep the authorities from discovering him. And she realized that there was nothing they could do but just trust God, simply trust God for his protection. They knew there was nothing they could do to change Pharaoh's evil law. It took courage to put faith in God's care and keeping. And so God used her courage to change the course of history. We could call her courageous faith an act of civil disobedience. She and her husband did not fear the king, his edict, as it says in Hebrews 11 that we read. They deliberately disobeyed the king's law for a higher moral purpose. And as one source points out, we could think of modern examples like Rosa Parks' refusal to move to the back of the bus, or Corrie Ten Boom's hiding Jewish refugees. Standing up for moral rightness is, quote, risky, but when a law is so unjust as to be utterly opposed to God's way and desperately hurtful to many victims, or when a Christian consensus, the judgment of many wise leaders, opposes the unjust law, when your law-breaking perpetuates no violence, then you are in the position of Moses' parents. And you act with courage and have compassion even for those responsible for the legal corruption that you, in a, whatever way it is you prefer, protest. Now, that's how you stand. That's how you take your stand in faith. Now, and along with a mother's courage comes a mother's sacrifice. Jochebed put her faith into action by courageously placing her baby into an infant-sized ark, a floatable wicker basket consisting of papyrus reeds that was glued together with tar and pitch by means of saving him. Now, try to think about this and put yourself in her place. Can you imagine what was going through her mind when she padded the basket with cloth? She wrapped him warm and snug into his blankets. She gently placed him into this little vessel made to float. And then with this tender kiss and probably a tear in her eyes, she sends him down that very same river where so many other innocent children unfortunately succumbed to their doom while mothers wailed and they grieved over their little ones. What an experience that must have been like. And at least, though, Jochebed's willingness to sacrifice her precious son, her beautiful baby boy, to the Lord's care, to his keeping in this way, at least provided a way and a ray of hope that her son would somehow, maybe some way, be rescued and delivered from a dreadful demise. You know, unlike today where we hear of so many tragic situations where some mothers endanger their own children to the point of child neglect or abuse or other things that are worse than that, Here was Jochebed looking out for her child's best interests, even though her actions seem a bit unusual in comparison to modern times. But considering the fact that her son's life was already in danger, no thanks to Pharaoh's edict, what she did caught the eye of a loving, merciful God. And when God sees our faith and the sacrifices that we're willing to make through faith, especially when it comes to looking out for our children, doing whatever means we can to survive sometimes, He will use that faith to help fulfill His plans. I think mothers and fathers who love their children will do whatever it takes to help their children's survival and success. Pastor Partington tells of a magazine article where he says a one-year-old had such a serious medical condition that only an experimental medical procedure might, I say might, help her. Otherwise, she would not live. He says certain members of the family were strongly opposed to going ahead with it. The parents agonized over what to do. Do they run the risk of her dying from surgery or go ahead with it? He says it was a difficult decision, which they ended up making in favor of the surgery. And after a long process, the little child started to recover, and now she's about 5 years old. They put it all into God's hands, and God blessed them abundantly. I also think of Proverbs chapter 31. One of the reasons why mom is so honored and loved by her family in that chapter is because of her sincere sacrifice that she continually makes for the family's well-being. It says things like, she works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her. This is an ideal situation, but it's not impractical. It's possible, even in this day and age. In my research, I came across some interesting material on Proverbs 31, which is 10 through 31. These are called seven principles, and it's put out by Proverbs 31 Ministries. And you could probably look that up on your internet if you want to go through there and define these things. And I realize this is a very small print, so you probably can't read it from about the middle all the way to the back there, to the peanut gallery back there. But anyway, I'll real briefly read through this. And it says, number one, the Proverbs 31 woman reveres Jesus Christ as Lord of her life and pursues an ongoing personal relationship with Him. Two, the Proverbs 31 woman loves, honors, and respects her husband as the leader of the home. Number three, the Proverbs 31 woman nurtures her children and believes that motherhood is a high calling with the responsibility of shaping and molding the children who will one day define who we are as a community and a nation. I might underscore that. You might want to underscore that mentally there, because that's a principle I'm going to talk about a little bit more as we go on with the message. Principle four, the Proverbs 31 woman is a disciplined and industrious keeper of the home who creates a warm and loving environment for her family and friends. Five, the Proverbs 31 woman contributes to the financial well-being of her household by being a faithful steward of the time and money God has entrusted to her. Six, the Proverbs 31 woman speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction as she mentors and supports other women and develops godly friendships. And seven, the Proverbs 31 woman shares the love of Christ by extending her hands to help with the needs in the community. I think the modern woman would do well to live according to these principles too. For her praises will be, I believe, far more rewarding than any jewelry or material gain or recognition that she could ever think of attaining. And I happen to think that in the final analysis, mothers who live up to godly principles will be among those who hear the words on that glorious day when the Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your Lord." There's going to be a lot of moms hearing those words. Praise God. The Bible makes it clear that Jochebed will be also among those faithful mothers who will receive their eternal reward. And as it turns out, her actions were not without intent, because it was by faith that they were well planned out. I don't think it was she just happened to think about this idea on how there, this way that she could save her child from the demise that many other ones were suffering. Or evidently, the place Jochebed selected to release her baby was that where the daughter of Pharaoh came daily to bathe. According to one of my resources, that was actually a commentary by author Charles Erdman. And he goes on to say that she stationed Miriam, the older sister of the babe, near enough to see what might happen. When the princess reaches the bank of the river, she discovers the little ark. As the cover is removed, the babe weeps, possibly startled at the sight of strange faces. The pitiful cry touches the heart of the princess, and she recognizes the child as a Hebrew babe who has been condemned to die. Miriam, probably noting the look of sympathy, made her shrewd proposal. "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. It has been a venture of faith, and now this faith had been richly rewarded. Not only was the child saved, but returned to his own mother, who was promised wages for nursing her own babe. Just think of that. And in process of time, the child was brought to the palace and known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By her, he was named Moses, which means drawn forth, as she recalled his rescue from death. I like the way Erdman summarizes this and explains it. And it does make a lot of sense on how God can use this in such a momentous and important way. After weaning the child, it says that she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Now, if you go to Acts, the 7th chapter, verses 20 through 21, this same incident is also described. And you can read about it there on the screen. Jochebed's unselfish sacrifice for her son, who eventually lived in Pharaoh's palace, was ultimately not without God's blessings. This is what's interesting. For her baby was part of a plan that would someday lead to the deliverance of Israel from the kind of treachery that Pharaoh was known for. And this plan proves her destiny as the mother of Israel's great deliverer and the outcome this would have for all of her people. Isn't that wonderful how God uses things like that, situations as that? The D, by the way, in your outline, if you're following along, you have courage and sacrifice. Well, the D is for destiny. Her destiny of purpose was to be fulfilled. And so Erdman aptly applies this lesson to our times. He says, "Today in all lands, countless children are in peril, threatened with physical and moral and spiritual death. Their cries may not be articulate, but when they reach sympathetic hearts, when intelligent effort is put forth, when faith in God is exercised by parents and friends and loyal servants of the King, precious lives are reserved and leaders and deliverers are provided to meet the deepest needs of mankind." So well put, I believe. You know, you ask the question, well, how often do mothers consider the impact that their children might one day have on the world? Mothers, you've got a very important role on what, how that question is answered. Reader's Digest had this funny little attribute to mothers stating, "Behind every great man is his mother," who might have said the following. Get this. "Mrs. Morse, Sam, stop tapping your fingers on the table. It's driving me crazy. Mrs. Lindbergh, Charles, can't you do anything by yourself? Mrs. Washington, George never did have a head for money." I know that made a lot of sense, but All right, who did all that moaning back there? Get this one. Mrs. Armstrong. Neil has no more business taking flying lessons than the man on the moon. I like that. Now, you might think of famous prime ministers or presidents, inventors, adventurers, or church leaders who claim their mothers as the greatest influence on their lives. Well, here's an interesting anecdote contributed by Harry Albus called Mothers Who Made History. Interesting. The mother of Ferdinand Foch, the great general of World War II, taught him to put his faith in God and to pray. As a result, his men said of him, "General Foch is a man of prayer, a prophet whom God inspires." And throughout his life, he continued the prayer habits he learned in his mother's home. President James A. Garfield's mother was an earnest Christian who taught her children that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs. A widow with four children, she not only managed her farm, but built with her own hands a log house, which was also used as a church. There she taught her own children, as well as others, the Scripture. Go back to Proverbs 31 on that one. The mother of England's famous William E. Gladstone led her son to faith in God when he was nine. He chose as his life's motto, "In practice the great things is that the life of God may be the supreme habit of my soul." He also wrote, "All I think, all I write, all I am is based on the divinity of Jesus Christ, the central hope of our poor, wayward race." Where do you think he got that idea from? His mother certainly had a lot of influence there. Oliver Cromwell's mother taught him the simple truths of Scripture, and he chose this favorite verse, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," Philippians 4:13. The mother of evangelist Dwight L. Moody struggled against poverty on a New England farm. A widow with many problems, she taught her own son the importance of eternal values. At 17, Moody accepted Christ and a few years later dedicated his life for service. And then there was Sir Isaac Newton's mother. Prayed with and for her son every day of her life. It was the grief of her deathbed that she left a son of 7 years at the mercy of a rough world. But Newton said, "I was born in a home of godliness and was dedicated to God in my infancy." Even up to that point, you know, as young as a child is, even at that point, a mother can have an influence. A lot of things to consider when you consider the future of the world and how often it, in a major way, relies upon the upbringing and the influence that a mother can be, a godly mother can be to their family. So it's all important that we continually emphasize this and that we don't forget it. And how our kids, especially daughters, can grow up to have good Christian homes. And we pray that they do. Examples like these show the importance of having godly mothers. Moses could say also good things about his mother as well. We admire a man like Moses and can point directly to his mother as being a prime example of faith. And not only just faith, but its results too. For even when a faithful mother consistently demonstrates courage, sacrifice, destiny of purpose, her children can truly wish her a happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.